Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Lord, we do affirm and acknowledge and accept the fact that this is your word. And Lord, we do pray that you would help us to put ourselves under your word. We do pray that you would give us greater insight into what the Son had to say in this particular passage. Be with us over all 4 weeks of Advent, but particularly this morning, that we might learn more of you and glorify you and enjoy you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Why did the eternal Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead, why did he take on human flesh and become a man, a person like us, and come to earth? What was the purpose of the incarnation of the Son of God, the birth of Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters, it's good for us to ask questions such as that. Questions are about our faith. We have a reasonable faith, one by which we can understand with reason, and it is good for us not simply to hear and accept the truths of our faith, but to think about them and to ask questions and to make sure we really understand them. And particularly when it comes to the incarnation of the Son of God, the birth of Jesus Christ, it is a fact of our faith, the truth of our faith that is so central that if we are to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ correctly, if we are to understand the whole message of the Bible, we must understand this truth correctly. And admittedly, there are many answers to that particular question from God's word. We can look at the whole story of Scripture and the themes, trace the themes of the Bible, and we can come to many truthful answers for why Jesus Christ was born. The apostles themselves offered many truthful answers. Those who wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul and John and Peter, they all explained why Jesus Christ had to come. And Jesus himself, in his earthly ministry as an adult, he gave reasons for why he came to earth. But what we have here in Hebrews, quoting Psalm 40, is unique in that what we have here is a speech by the Son of God before his incarnation, before the birth of Jesus Christ, even before the miraculous conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary under the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this passage gives us a unique perspective revealed by the Son of God of the purposes of God in the incarnation of the Son of God. And so we will look at this passage carefully over the next several weeks, try to understand all that the Son, or at least a lot of what the Son had to say in this particular passage. But today we are going to focus on the first part of what he had to say in this speech, where he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me." But before we get to that passage, I do want to say that if you are here today and you have not yet put your faith in Jesus Christ, or you are wrestling with the truths of the gospel, you're wrestling with a knowledge of who the person of Jesus Christ is, what I hope you see in this passage, what you hear is a clear declaration of truth about who Jesus Christ is. And what I mean is this. Now, for all of us, our life began completely outside of our control. We had nothing to do with our birth, let alone our conception. And yet what we see here in this passage is something quite the opposite for the man Jesus Christ. Here we have a conversation in what we would call the divine council or the triune council of the Godhead, the Son of God speaking to the Father about this purpose of God for his coming to earth and his incarnation. The incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ, was a cooperative ministry of the triune God. And the Son is revealing that purpose and taking on this responsibility through his resurrection. And in the course of time, he did just that. As he was born of a virgin in the city of Bethlehem. And so this man, Jesus, was a true man, born with a true body, true human body, as a true baby, as a person with a body just like us, and yet at the same time, he was the eternal Son of God incarnate, the Son of God who came to be like us. And so with that in mind, let's just spend just a very brief amount of time looking at kind of the passage at a very high level to understand the structure of what the Son has to say in this one particular verse, or these two verses. And there's three important things that we can draw out of this quite briefly. The first is that there was a pleasing purpose for the Son's incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ. And that purpose had something to do with sacrifice. Notice the contrast. He says to the Father, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me." The sacrifices and offerings were commanded under the law to Israel, and yet the Son reveals that there's something that was ultimately not desirable about those things. And so the Son is acknowledging that the Father has provided a solution, a better plan, something that he does desire, that he has personally provided a solution. He says, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you prepared." The Father has prepared a body as an alternative for those sacrifices. And a body that's not simply a body in and of itself, but a body for a particular person. It says, "A body you've prepared for me." A body for the Son of God. So with those things in mind, a pleasing purpose, a personal preparation for a particular person. Let's dig in just a little bit to make sure that we understand this. The Son indicates that sacrifice was he frames the purpose in light of sacrifices and offerings. And the law of God required, it commanded sacrifices and offerings for the Israelites for many different purposes, but the Son calls out a specific type of purpose. Verse 6, he says, "In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Burnt offerings and sin offerings were sacrifices for sin, for the sin of the people. Sin is the act of breaking God's law. It is an offense against God. It angers God. He hates sin. It incurs his wrath. And his wrath must be satisfied. There must be justice. And so this sin incurs judgment. It is a judgment of death. The Lord said, "The soul that sins, the soul who sins must die." He told Adam, the first man, he said, the day you sin, you will surely die. There is a judgment of death. And ever since that first man, Adam, sinned against God, all of us have entered into a sin nature. We are born with a sin nature, and we sin out of that sin nature. And so we are under a sentence of death. And yet God, in his grace, was not content to leave us in that state. And he, in his love and grace, he demonstrated, he showed that he was willing to accept a substitute. And so he offered, he commanded the people to offer sacrifices and offerings for their sin. But it had to be in his way. It had to be an acceptable sacrifice. It had to be the right kind of animal. It had to be an animal that was acceptable in its quality, blameless and pure, without spot. It had to be offered in an acceptable way. The worshiper would bring the animal, and they would slaughter the animal and spill its blood and take the flesh of the animal and burn it on the altar. It was to be a graphic and gory experience for the worshiper to understand the severity of their sin and the what was needed as payment and satisfaction for their sin. They were to see death and the shedding of blood as evidence of the severity of their sin. But the son says to the father, "Well, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired." He said, you have not desired this. There was something particularly insufficient with this sacrificial system. And I think we can see that insufficiency in a number of different ways. The first was, it was an insufficient substitute. The death of an animal, a bull or a goat, the shedding of blood of an animal could never truly substitute for the sin of a person, a man or a woman or a child. It was an insufficient substitute. You know, you wonder what the Old Testament, how much the Old Testament believers wrestled through that very thing. You know, kids are curious. There were probably some uncomfortable conversations in the home life around the times of the sacrifice. Son might come to his father and say, "Father, why do we have to always offer all these? Why we always have to kill all these animals?" The father would say, "Well, you know, because the Lord commanded it." "Yes, Father, I know the Lord commanded it, but why? Why do we have to kill all these animals?" Father would say, "Well, it's we're offering these because of our sin. We have sinned against God. God is commanding us to kill these animals as payment, as a substitution for us. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And so this animal is dying in our place, and we're seeing it. We're giving this animal." And the son says, "Yes, I understand all that, Father, but why are we having to offer all these animals? How could God be pleased with this? How could an animal, killing an animal, take away my sin?" At which point the father probably says, "Crickets, blank stare. I don't know. Good question. I don't really know. I haven't really thought about that." And beloved, as much as our culture wants to elevate animals to the level of human beings or denigrate human beings to the level of animals, we know innately, and animals seem to understand innately, what God declares clearly is that there is a fundamental and monumental difference between human beings and animals. Human beings created in the image of God, and the animals who are not. It may be that in our sin, as the psalmist said, "I was like a brute beast." And perhaps that is part of what was at play, is that the Lord was saying that in your sin, you were like this brute beast. And yet it was insufficient, because the blood of a bull or goat could never suffice for the life of a person. As a result, there was an insufficient payment. These sacrifices never stopped. They are offered over and over and over again. Constant death, constant bloodshed, constant reminder of sin, both for the worshiper and for God, as these people continue to bring the animals and slaughtering them. I can't imagine that that worship practice was joyful. It was exhausting spiritually and physically. And as a result, it had an insufficient result. It was a constant reminder of sin. As the writer of Hebrews said, it said it clearly, it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. It was impossible. The payment just simply wasn't enough. It wasn't a sufficient payment to satisfy God's justice, to purify the conscience of the believer. And there was no peace of conscience, constant reminder of sin. And there was no peace of conscience because there was no true peace with God. But above all, I think perhaps they were insufficient because not pleasing to the Lord because they had an insufficient aim. The Lord said that, as we read in our passage in our Old Testament reading, what God desired was obedience, not sacrifice. That's what Saul heard from Samuel. Saul had been commanded to wait for Samuel to show up to offer the sacrifice. Saul waited. Samuel took too long. Saul said, well, I'll offer the sacrifice. He was focused on the sacrifice as though that was the thing that mattered. And Samuel showed up and rebuked Saul. And he said, does the Lord have his great desire in sacrifices and in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to listen to the Lord than the fat of rams. Beloved, God delights in our obedience, in us aligning our hearts and our minds with him and receiving the blessing of being aligned with him. That's what he desires. Sacrifices are a payment for disobedience, a reminder that God has not gotten what he desires most. It's a lesser substitute. And so what God desires is obedience, and yet sin has entered the world. The world was, disobedience reigned. And yet, what would the Lord do? How would the Lord handle such a thing? What would please the Lord in solving this particular issue? Well, it didn't please the Lord to simply overlook the sin. See, God hates sin. It incurs his wrath. He must have satisfaction for his sin. There must be justice. To simply overlook it, to ignore it, there's no justice. There must be justice and wholeness. And what's more, the Lord had promised. He said, the soul who sins must die. There must be a death. And God cannot lie. And so it didn't please him to simply overlook the sin. And yet it also did not please the Lord to destroy all mankind. Now the problem is that every one of us has sinned. We are all born with a sin nature. We are all under a judgment of death. If there must be a death, then we are all deserving of that death. And yet God did not desire, he did not delight in destroying all of mankind. God loved his creation. And particularly, he loved those who loved us, humankind created in his image. He said about creation, I'm well pleased. Well pleased with his image bearers. But he also wasn't pleased to leave us as is. The Son said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired. God indicated his willingness to accept a substitute, but it had to be the right substitute. It had to be sufficient. It had to be perfect. It had to be acceptable, and it had to be physical. It was indicated by the sacrifices that God commanded in the Old Testament. They were the physical flesh of an animal. And the reality is sin, our sin, is not simply a matter of spiritual nature. It is a physical matter. It is a matter of the body. It is in the body that we are obedient or disobedient to the Lord. Sin truly flows from the heart, but sin is committed in the body. It was when Adam took the fruit and ate it that we fell into sin. And those desires, our sinful desires, flow into our things we do with our hands and our feet and our mouths and our eyes and our minds. They're physical and not simply spiritual. And when we fell into sin, God put all of creation under a curse that was truly physical. One experienced in the body, there is pain in childbirth. There is pain in the toils of labor by the sweat of our brow. There are true thorns and thistles. All creation is under a physical curse that we experience in the body because of the sin in the body. And the ultimate judgment under which we sit is not simply spiritual, but bodily. We are spiritually dead in the fall, separated from a life in union with God, a life enlivened by the Spirit who gives life, separated from every good thing, unable to do any good, and yet we are also under a threat of physical death. We know that our bodies waste away and will die, and after we die, we will face judgment, and that judgment is physical, a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm does not die, a place of eternal agony, eternal judgment in the body. It is a physical matter. And so this sacrifice must be in the body, must be acceptable. But God, in his grace, was not willing to let us be overcome by this fear of judgment and leave us in that state. Sacrifices and offerings, that whole system you have not desired. And the Son said, here is the solution, but a body you have prepared for me. A human body. The image of God taking a body like yours and mine to perfectly represent us. A body that in which he would come in the likeness of sinful flesh, but perfectly without sin, holy and blameless, without spot or wrinkle. And that is exactly what the Lord did. In this cooperative ministry of the triune God, the plan of the Father accepted by the Son, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, this holy child was born as a true man to endure everything we must endure and to complete everything we must complete for us. He came to be perfectly obedient in life and in death. That obedience was perfected in his suffering, particularly on the cross. His obedience was willing as he went to the cross. His feet took him there. His eyes were set on Jerusalem. And he said, what should I say? Should I say, fathers, deliver me from this hour? It is for this reason that I came. And he went willingly and obediently to the cross in the body. That his body was spit on and tortured. Crown of thorns drew blood from his body. The hands and feet of his body received nails. And he hung on the cross in the body. And the Father put our sins, all of our sins, our sin nature on his body. He made him to endure the curse in the body and to become a curse in the body. And it was the will of the Father. It pleased the Father to crush him in the body, to crush our sins in his body. And that body died and was taken down and placed into a tomb. But because he was obedient in the body perfectly, death had no hold on him. He had not deserved death. Our sins had been laid on him, but even the power of our sins could not restrain him, and he burst the bonds and was raised in the body with the same body. Now, he said to Thomas, he said, take a look at the holes in my hands. Feel my side. He talked with them. He ate with them. He visited with them. And he was raised into the heavenly places in this body prepared for him by the Father, seated at the right hand of God the Father, as the man, the human being in the heavenly realms representing us with a body just like us, beloved. And he has completed this. He has given the Father exactly what the Father desired. The Father did not desire sacrifices or offerings. He said, but a body you've prepared for me. And so he came to willingly offer himself as a perfect sacrifice, as a perfect man, to perfectly satisfy the wrath of God for us and grant us forgiveness. And with the Old Testament sacrificial system, there was a constant reminder for sin. The bloods of bulls and goats could never pay for sin, but Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus Christ from his body paid for our sins. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and God has promised, if you confess your sins, he's like, this is what I will do. I will write my law on your heart, and I will remember your sins no more. I will remember your sins no more. This is what Jesus Christ has done. This is what he came to do. This was God's pleasing and perfect plan. The question for you and for me, beloved, is this. Jesus Christ came to offer himself as a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. He has done it perfectly and without fail. God has accepted his sacrifice. There is true cleansing and forgiveness. The question for you and for me is, will we accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as our own? Do we see it as pleasing and acceptable for us, or do we insist on offering our own bodies as that payment for sin? Because those are really the only two options that our God has provided, is either Jesus Christ fully pays for our sins in his body. God accepts that sacrifice on our behalf, or we will pay for it ourselves in the body for all eternity. Our sins, God will have justice for our sins. He will have payment. The wrath stands over those who have not yet had that payment paid by Jesus Christ. And the problem that we have is that our bodies are not perfect and spotless. Our bodies are stained with sin. You know it, and I know it. We can't offer a perfect sacrifice, which means this, like those bulls and goats, we will never satisfy God's wrath. We will never fully pay that debt. That payment we will pay for all eternity and never get even closer to the debt that we owe. And beloved, but it need not be that. It need not be that case for us. We need to, Jesus Christ has been offered to us. He has come in the body for us and offered himself for us. I urge you, accept this sacrifice of Jesus Christ on your behalf. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved from your sins and the wrath of God to come. But we need to understand what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to accept this sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ means this: as Jesus Christ offered his body for us, we offer our bodies to him. You know, we could say this same thing that the Son said, you know, a body that you have prepared for me. Beloved, I don't know how you feel about your physical body. We tend to have a pretty negative view of our physical bodies, disappointed in its weaknesses, our sicknesses, our inabilities. But you and your body are highly valued by the Almighty God. The Father prepared your body as well. He knit you in your mother's womb, carefully crafted who you would be, body and soul. And we can't miss the supreme value that God has placed on our bodies, in that the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, was not ashamed to take on a human body like you and like what you and I have. And he did so to transform us from the inside out, to give value and purpose and to redeem even our bodies. And that is what it is involved in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we understand that he offered himself in the body for us, and that we accept him and we offer our bodies to him as Scripture says, living sacrifices. And the New Testament authors say this over and over again as the necessary response to faith, or the active work of faith. He says, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Your sin has been placed on Jesus Christ. It was crucified in Jesus Christ. The power has been broken. Don't let it reign in your mortal bodies. He says, you were bought with a price, so honor God with your body. And Paul says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him. This is your spiritual act of worship. In other words, this is how you please the Lord, with what the Lord has given to you. Friends, have you learned what it is to offer him your body in as a living sacrifice? Through faith in Jesus Christ, believing in what Jesus Christ has done, what Scripture says is that God will pour out his Holy Spirit to dwell within us. That this body that God has prepared for us is also a body that he's prepared for his Son. That through faith, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the obedient one, comes and dwells within us. And we have union with him so that he works obedience in us as he worked obedience in his earthly body. It is our obedience that he's working in us as we are united to him. It is we who worship, we who work, we who serve, we who speak and use our words for edifying purposes. But it is, Paul said, not I, but Christ who lives in me. And we offer our bodies to him to take up residence and to transform. Paul said, you know, our outward bodies are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. It is by the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, who gives life to our mortal bodies. That is what the act of faith is allowing Jesus Christ to transform us as we offer ourselves wholeheartedly and whole bodily to Him. But beloved, also know this, that our ultimate salvation through faith in Jesus Christ is for a resurrection in the body. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and He will come again in a glorious body, transformed in glory. And as the Father prepared this body for Him, which He accomplished through obedience, so He has prepared a glorious body, my friends, for you and for me. This is the hope of the gospel, is that the imperishable, or the perishable, our bodies will be transformed, and the perishable will put on the imperishable, and that in dishonor will be transformed to the glorious, and the mortal body will put on immortality. And these bodies that have been prepared for us will be ours forever and ever as we are perfected in the holiness of our Lord and dwell with Him forever and ever to obey Him from the heart in the body forever and ever. Beloved, our Father prepared a body for His Son so that He could prepare us for a glorious body forever and ever. Oh, beloved, praise God that the Father was not pleased with these sacrifices and offerings. Praise Him that He prepared a body for His Son. Praise Him that the Holy Spirit conceived this body in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Praise Him that the Lord Jesus was obedient from the heart His entire life, in life and in death. Praise the Lord that God placed our sins on His body, and that it was the will of the Father to crush Him in the body, that He experienced and tasted death for us in the body and raised Him from the dead. Praise Him that He is giving life to your mortal bodies by the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise God that He has set us free from the things that give us death. And praise Him that He has promised an eternal hope, a glorious body, in the presence of His glory with great joy forever and ever. Beloved, this is our hope. And this is what it pleases the Father to give us. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for yet again the reminder of Your majestic and marvelous love for us, Your wisdom, which is beyond all measure. Lord, I pray that You would help us to grasp the height and depth and breadth and width of the love of Christ, the love of the Son who took on human flesh for us. Help us to know the power of His death and His resurrection. Help us to be filled with the hope of glory and to serve You in the body. We praise You for all these things. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.